We're in an interesting point in time in history where engineering organizations and therefore companies can choose to go on the golden path or revert backwards to this like nasty, you know, personal metrics kind of thing. Could you give your perspective or say it in your own words on what's happening there?
When times are tough, engineering leaders need as much help as they can get. Linear B helps dev teams continuously improve by providing correlated data, context, and automated workflows that help streamline code delivery and improve developer experience. Learn more at linearb.io and check out our free tool, GitStream. GitStream is helping developers everywhere merge their code faster by revolutionizing the pull request review process. Every pull request is different. It's time we start treating them that way. Download GitStream for free and learn more at gitstream.cm. Now, on to today's episode.
Hey everyone, welcome to Dev Interrupted. I'm your host, Dan Lyons, and today I'm joined by my LinearB co-founder, Ori Karen, and you are also LinearB CEO. Ori, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me again. It's great to be here.
Yeah, awesome every time that we got you on. Love chatting with you, of course. And today we're doing something a little bit different. Things are happening on the planet that we'd like to address. As probably everybody knows, there's an economic downturn. We're seeing companies that have a bunch of layoffs, not only in the tech sector, but definitely hitting the tech sector. And, you know, first and foremost, if you're in that kind of layoff situation, feel free to hit up the Dev Interrupted community and crew. We know a lot of amazing engineering teams, and we can certainly help you out. But secondly, we really want to address the issue, and it's the focus of today's episode. To put it bluntly, we believe there's a right way and a wrong way to think about team productivity or developer productivity. And this is the thing that companies are currently using to decide who stays, who gets laid off. There's kind of a right way and a wrong way to do it. Obviously, if we haven't said it enough on the show, we believe stack ranking is not the answer, or individual metrics is not the answer. But there's a lot of details that go into that. And that's why we're here today. So we'll open it up with a question to you, Ori. Can you give us kind of an overview of what's happening right now in engineering orgs, in the slowdown, in the economy across the globe?
Yeah, what we're seeing is, when we're talking to our customers, we've seen it before in other, you know, crises or downturns, but pressure is coming to R&D. Like CEOs and boards are saying, hey, go check your efficiency everywhere. And in sales, marketing, success, like they already implemented like great technologies that enable them to understand how efficient they are. And since we are at the beginning of moving R&D through digital transformation and having all the data available, some of them don't have answers. So now when the pressure is coming, like you said, there are two options that people can take. One is, if you are proactive and you have the right data at your fingertips. So for example, you can show, here are the projects that we're working on. You don't have to wait for somebody to come, hey, like, can you show me that you're efficient? You always have it at your fingertips, and you initiate, like, and you say, hey, CEO, peers, let's think about what projects should we stop, what projects should we increase. And if you are able to show your, you know, how efficient you are, there are standards now in the industry, and you're proactive in that conversation, it's almost like a shield that you can build, like something that helps you protect right now in these terms. And you can give a various reasons why you shouldn't cut your headcount, or maybe not as much as the organization would ask you.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, if you're not equipped with this data, sometimes what happens is people who are not from the industry, again, CEOs that came from sales or came from other industries or other regions that don't know the dynamics and all the details around like how you run around the organization, how it's a team sport more than everything. So, okay, let's do it like in sales. Let's stack rank the developers and take the bottom 5% that are not performing or not performing as good as the other team, and we should talk about what does it mean not performing, and cut them. And yeah, now how do you find like the 5%, and it brings like an unnatural pressure on the leaders, and they need to take rough decisions, and that's what's happening.
I totally agree and see that as well. One of the things that you mentioned was pressure, and that kind of caught me. And I think that also has a lot to do with it. The pressure is, hey, we got to make a decision this week, or we got to make a decision tomorrow. We overhired, whatever it is. The business is losing a ton of money. It's Monday. Can you tell me by Wednesday the 100 engineers that we're going to lay off? I'm making up a number. And I think that's the situation that a lot of CEOs are coming to engineering leaders with. If you're not, I would say, equipped, or you don't have the right data at your fingertips, it's a tough thing either way. Like it's not a good situation to be in, but that's the situation that we're in now. But if you don't have data at your fingertips, what do you do? And that CEO, highly likely, as you're saying, does not come from an engineering background. And they might say, hey, in sales, unfortunately, this is what we're doing. We're looking at who generated the most revenue after, you know, throughout the last 12 months, 24 months, whatever it is. And we're going to remove the bottom performers. If you don't have something like that, I suggest, you know, code contribution or lines of code or something like that. Actually, you know what it brings? Have you ever seen the movie Office Space?
Yeah.
Office Space. It's a movie. I actually watched it over the weekend. So I think probably most people listening to this pod have seen it. It's like a cult called Jennifer Aniston. And they're all working at Inatech. And they bring in consultants, Bob and Bob. They call them the Bobs. They bring in the Bobs and they interview each employee, and everyone knows that layoffs are coming. But of course, the joke is for the engineers, they try to interview them and they don't understand, you know, what productivity really is. And they end up, you know, wanting to lay off like the two best engineers. They're laying off the good ones. And the guy that comes in, I forget who it is. He's like playing the role opposite Jennifer Aniston, the lead there. But he says, yeah, I only do about 15 minutes. He doesn't care. He wants to lose his job. I only do about 15 minutes of work a day. And they end up promoting him, which is, you know, like a satire. Like, but it's almost like what is happening a little bit today, because you have, you know, a CEO that's like really, really maybe uneducated in the engineering space. You have this pressure. You say, hey, we got to make a decision this week. If you don't have, you know, the right suggestion, we're going to go with code contribution, or, you know, lines of code, which is obviously not the right thing to do.
No.
Now, I have like we're going to dive into more, you know, better ways than lines of code, but I have like a little prompt here from our editors. It says, Ori, you've been around the block a couple of times. You've been around the block a couple of times. You start. When was your first job, like out of, you know, first professional programming job?
It was in the previous millennium, without getting into more details. So your editor was basically saying, "Hey, Ori is like old, so ask him."
Ori's old, so ask him. You've been through the .com era, the 08 era. Are you seeing the same things, or is it different? Or like, what was your experience in those downturns?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. There's some similarities, because at the end of the day, I've been through that experience of like, we're cutting 20% of our workforce. I've been, by the way, in both sides of it. The side that is waiting to see if I'm part of like who's, and decided had to, as a young team leader, had to like let people go. There's nothing that prepares you to that experience. At the end, you know, it's people, like it's human beings, and it's really important to remember this in this time from when the war is going zigzagging all over the place. So
yeah,
That's the first thing. Now, there's some similarities and there's some things that are different. So similarities, at the end of the day, if you have to make a decision to cut, 10% of the workforce, here's the truth. People know where they are. They know where every team knows. And what we did in the past was kind of like, ran processes to identify and have discussion between the team leaders. And everybody understand what's on stake because they understand the bottom performance will be cut. We did it without data. We didn't have data. It was, again, this was the 2008 experience. So you kind of, you have your performance talks and your assessment and you work with that. That's similar because I think, again, if you're getting into the conversation of you have to do those moves, I don't think you should be using data around like individual metrics. Because they won't reflect, first of all, I don't think you should be measuring them. And if you are, use the positive ones, how many reviews people are doing, if you have to do some individual metrics, or if people are burned out, those are the only things I would measure. But in the end of the day, you don't need them to get to a decision to identify, okay, who are the 5 or 10% you have to let go if the time comes. Now, if you do have data, that's the, going back to the point that we said like before, you have power. So you can have a strategic conversation and even initiate it and don't wait for somebody to come and say, hey, we're cutting 5 or 10%. You're having a strategic conversation on the investment levels and you can show how you can do more with the existing workforce because you're investing in efficiencies. And that's where it's different, like from that time frame to where we are. I would use, if I had like the power that we have today with the product like Linear B, again, I would use that as a shield. I would use that to show how we're investing and how we're getting more efficient and what project that we can cut and what project we have to continue. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I would be able not to save everybody, but to save, I don't know, from 10% get to like Electronica 2% of the workforce or 3%.
Yeah. It's a way to be proactive. You're not waiting for the CEO to come to you and say, okay, you need to remove X percent of people. It's the opposite. Saying, awesome. Okay, I understand that we're in an economic downturn. Let me have a conversation with you about it.
Yeah.
Here's the projects. Here's the projects. These are the most important ones. Do we agree on this? Okay. Here's the efficiency. Here's how I've been hopefully improving the efficiency. We've been improving our cycle time. We've been improving our predictability. And here are how the teams are operating from a dev experience, a dev workflow standpoint. Now let's make, again, I like what you're saying. Let's go from 10% to 3%, for the layoffs. Yeah. One of the, one of the most visible, I would say, round of layoffs is in Twitter. So you can kind of, see that all over the internet now. You see it with engineers who've been laid off, still, tweeting and that kind of stuff. And, it's not like fully confirmed, but you can kind of see it over and over again from the engineering organization, the people that work there. And it's saying, hey, what they did was look at code contribution, which equates essentially to lines of code contributed and therefore a stack rank of engineers. And the bottom contributors, again, from lines of code, were let go. How did that make you feel? What was your reaction to that?
Yeah. Honestly, like you said, I don't know how much is confirmed and how much is not. My first reaction is this can't be real because it's not a smart way to identify the if you have to cut 10%, what is the 10% that I will cut and I will still stay the most productive, right? There's 10% that you cut and you lose 30% of productivity, and there's 10% that you cut, then you won't lose that much of productivity. So it's just not smart way like to identify. I'm just, if we try that, I also understand, okay, probably, wanted to make a splash and say, okay, we have to do it anyway, gotta do it fast, but it's not a smart way. And everybody who works in engineering knows that, doing the same task with less code is usually more efficient, more debuggable. It's easier like to fix stuff. And it's always like better than like a long function. That's the same. So it's not a smart thing. And I keep giving my example, like you mentioned at the beginning, thank you, that I've been around, aka I'm old. I used to write in C, and the most problematic bugs in C and C++ are memory overruns. When you have a memory overrun, it's not deterministic. Something happens, runs over memory, and then 2 minutes later or a week later, something can explode. And it's because of chaos that was because of that memory overrun. So it's really hard to trace and find it. I remember 2 or 3 months that I was after a memory overrun problem that caused our servers to crash. And at the end, I fixed it with one line. 3 months, one line. You know how much money it took for the company, like because of all the servers that no one ever. So yeah, if I was part of that, I would probably be one of the less productive people in that time frame. But at the end, I was very productive because I helped the company save a lot of money. So yeah, it's not just pure, like very in a very simple way. It's not a good metric. Don't use individual metrics because your teams know. Work with your teams to understand like who should you let go if you have to. And if you have to use individual metrics, that's probably not one of the good ones to get a true indication of top performance.
I mean, hopefully it's obvious, but we should say, I mean, obviously commits, lines of code, these are some of the worst metrics in terms of like ranking an engineer. My reaction to it, okay, so if you're going to do that, because I think what we also saw is, again, not confirmed, but the SRE team at Twitter. So if you're an SRE engineer, you're obviously going to be contributing less code to the code base in general, probably on average versus like a feature developer. Yet your role in the company is super, super important, especially for, you know, social network that has to be up all the time and fast and efficient. Those are probably, and again, if you had, okay, here's our projects, here's the importance of these projects, here's the efficiency of how these teams are operating from a workflow standpoint, that's a much better and proactive way. But I guess we gotta say it maybe explicitly. You kind of said it before, but if you had to say it in the most, like, I don't know, distinct way possible, why are individual metrics so bad, and who do you think they harm the most?
Yeah, they're bad because they're going to break your culture. As we say, R&D is team sports. I'm doing a design. I need feedback and raising a pull request. I need good reviewers. I want sometimes multiple opinions. Some people more experienced, they will review my design and they review my code if I'm new. And some are more, yeah, that's all they care about, like building. And some like to build new stuff. Some are like all about finding bugs. And then you got to, it's like a basketball. I play basketball, so I love this analysis. Basketball. Some players are like, you know, like to shoot the ball. Some need ones to pass it. So there's no like one metric in the engineering organization. And if you use, if you start using individual metrics, what will happen is people try to game them or try to change their internal culture, their part in the team is so dedicated and do something else and things will start to break. So everybody get hurt. Like the developers get hurt. Because they're not as productive even as individuals as they were before once they start measuring at that. The culture will be impacted. Not going to be nice to work, yeah. And then productivity of the company will be hurt. So,
yeah,
it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah, it's actually the worst case scenario. Everybody's hurt by it, and I'm happy you brought up the behavior thing because I actually forgot about that for a second because it's so obvious. But yeah, if I'm an engineer now at Twitter, I'd like to probably keep my job. It's human nature to want to keep my job. You want more lines of code? I'll give you more lines of code. It's really easy. I'll make, you know, everything I do, make sure that I'm, you know, making it bloated, let's say. And I guess that equates to job security. But obviously that's horrible for everybody, the teams and the company.
Yeah.
You have something that I really like that you've been talking about in a few forums now, It's called ETA. We're gonna dive into ETA. And I think what's happened with the economy, I guess, has kind of accelerated this event where as a company and as an engineering organization, you have two paths that you could go down. I think you call one of them kind of getting more to the golden age, or you can kind of get that pressure and panic a little bit and revert backwards, right, to a situation where you're measuring individual engineers. I want to touch on both of those points of like, what is ETA? And also, you know, kind of that event that's kind of like accelerating a decision point for engineering organizations and companies. Let's start with what is ETA? Let's start there.
ETA is like, it's easy to remember. So ETA stands for estimated time arrival, but it's also in engineering dev productivity, it's experience, tempo, and alignment, which are the three components that you should be looking when you want to really understand your dev productivity and how you make it more efficient. Experience stands for developer experience, which basically means it's a great movement and talks about if I'm a developer, how easy it is to perform a task in the company I work. How easy it is to test. Can I spin up an environment real fast? Or should I wait for 2 days if I need to test something? How easy it is to get code approved, reviewed and approved. That's the biggest bottleneck that exists. So that's developer experience. That's the E. Really important. Again, how easy it is, but from a developer's eyes. Like, then tempo is another word for velocity or like, and it's really attached to DORA metrics that everybody's familiar with now. And it basically means like, do you have the right cadence, the right flow at the organization level? So if I'm a VP of R&D, I can look at the development pipeline and see where I have bottlenecks and resolve them, again, in an organization level. So the cadence still stay really fast, meaning like somebody writes a code, it takes it like 1 or 2 days to get to production because I have tests, I have everything, and I have all the guardrails and everything, and I can approve code fast, etc. So that's like the tempo, like the flow. That's the T. And A, the alignment, is not less important. That means like business alignment, which basically means how engineering is aligned with the business. And a lot of time we spoke about it, engineering speaks different language than the business for years. They spoke different languages, but there's an opportunity now. We're seeing it, like people that adopt solutions and want to ramp up their game, their productivity, and get data. So once they say, hey, you're on the project, they can show their R&D investment allocation. They can show predictability, like planning accuracy, how accurate we are in each one of those projects, and what type of investment are we putting in each project. Now they can be aligned with the business goals because they can have like an intelligent conversation. Business says, okay, right, we're investing here and here, but we got to do those things. Engineering can give another argument. Okay, we have to invest in technical, but there's this educated discussion and we're choosing the right investment profile and then we're continuing from there. So A, alignment is not less important, really important in this time frame also because of the pressure we talked about. So that's ETA.
Yeah. And that ETA, actually, while you were describing it, I was thinking about the shield analogy or the justification analogy. The ET and the A, I believe, is that shield that you're talking about. If you know, like on a per org or team basis, how are we doing from a developer experience standpoint? Usually we look at the pull request process and merge frequency. How are teams doing in the T part, the tempo? You mentioned the DORA metrics, like a cycle time, for example, that's the efficiency of how the team's operating, and the alignment back to the business. That's the A. Are we working on the right projects? Now, if I have all of that information, I can have the proactive conversation and hopefully, you know, not lose anyone on the engineering team. But if we do need to make, you know, a sacrifice because of the economic times, again, let's go from a 10% to, hey, you know what? We're actually really performing very efficiently in the engineering organization. Let's move it down to a 3%. Maybe there is one team, you know, a team that's not operating so well and happens to be a little bit unlucky in that they're not, you know, directly generating revenue driving features or something like that. It's kind of at the bottom of the list. But again, we went from 10 to 3%. And I really love the idea of like proactively using that ETA shield. The second thing that I wanted to touch on, you actually had a slide on it. I think that you showed at some presentation. I have it visually in my head. But there's kind of like a point in time. We're in an interesting point in time in history where engineering organizations and therefore companies can choose to go on the golden path or revert backwards to this like nasty, you know, personal metrics kind of thing. Could you give your perspective or say it in your own words on what's happening there?
Yeah, sure. So if you look at the time frame, like we look at the Agile Manifesto, which was a great movement that engineers developed like to solve big problems in software and the software industry. Then you had the DevOps movement in 2014. Then you're now getting into the dev productivity era, and it started with DORA as a research, and I think got accelerated a lot with companies that took some of those practices and productized them. And on that front, we can get to the golden age, like you're saying, if we continue to develop the research and the actual practice of how we measure and how we implement dev productivity. And ETA is the right approach because it balances everything. But what's happening because of the pressure that we spoke about, some companies are like trying to take the shortcut and they regress back to those bad habits. So let's put individual metrics on developers and then cut like the 10% that way. Let's measure the wrong. If we are 100% sure we need to do an individual, let's choose the worst ones, lines of code, right? To take decision with. So yeah, like I see a risk. By the way, at the end, I'm not that worried for the industry as a whole because the right things will happen. Evolution is like, we'll take care of it. But it's a pity if we take, we guess, like 2 years and get to the golden age, I don't know, 2 years later than we can. And it's about us as leaders and engineering leaders. Kind of like now here's the interesting thing. By the way, from the crisis of like 2008 and all the good things evolved out of like bad times. So great technology around sales evolved out of it and measuring it the right way. Only once you had like again productivity gains for the sales reps, Salesforce was adopted at full force. Same thing will happen here. So it's on us, the engineering leaders, to take the right decision, to be proactive, to educate like everybody, and good things will happen out of this like time frame, and maybe we can even accelerate the arrival to the golden age. At the end of the day, we need more software. Use it for good purposes. And good things will happen in the universe because it helps like automate things and it can do amazing things if used again for ethical purposes and for the right purposes. So let's not regress 2 years and we'll come faster.
Yeah, really well said. What caught me is I think, you know, it's not a straight line of evolution, but I think right now some companies will almost advance 2 years if you have the right data, the right justifications. And some companies are going to have to go through a hard learning period where they're going to regress 2 years and then have to catch up. So kind of coming up on our closing statements here, you know, my, I guess, main takeaway or what I want to tell the audience, if you're an engineering leader or you're, you know, a developer that can have some influence, make sure that you have the right justification shield. Right now, if you don't have something that you can be proactive with your CEO, something like an ETA, that's what we believe in, the experience, the tempo, and alignment. There's a bunch of tools out there, obviously Linear B, there's other ones as well. Go out and get one so that you can do the right thing for your people in a very, I think, difficult period of time that we're going through right now. Ori, from your side, I think, you know, pretty well said before, but anything else that you'd like to leave our audience with?
No, I think you phrased it really well. Like, it could be difficult times, but good things can evolve out of them, like for us as an industry. And I would encourage, like you said, developers to encourage their leaders to come and be proactive. And then I think at the end, good things will happen to those organizations, the industry as a whole.
Awesome. So Ori, thanks so much for coming on for this special episode today. Really happy that we both got to share our thoughts on this topic that's like super important. So thanks for coming on the pod today.
Thank you for having me. That was great.
And thanks everyone for joining us today. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like us to do more episodes like this one in the future, let us know. We read every comment, every review, and we really appreciate your feedback. See you all next week.